This is the Trails Church podcast. At the Trails Church, our mission is to glorify God by making disciples through the gospel in community and on mission. If you'd like more information about our church, visit our website, thetrails.org. Now, here's today's podcast.
My name is Gabe Boyd. I serve as the pastor of family ministry here at the Trails. And every time I get an opportunity here in the summers to preach, man, it is just a joy and an honor to open God's word with you all. In fact, if you have a copy of scripture, I'll invite you to turn to Psalm chapter 65 with me. Psalm 65. So if you're new to the Trails, every summer we take a small break during the summer months and we dig into the Psalms. We've been doing this since we planted this church for 6 summers now. And it's been such an enjoyable time to really just dig into each psalm one by one by one. And I'll be honest with you, when I first opened up Psalm 65, I mean, there wasn't a whole lot that I knew about it. I came to this not really having a whole lot of expectation. And of course, God did what he always does, and he just blew me away at the beauty of this song that David writes. But before I get ahead of myself, I want to take you back a little over a year ago to April 8th, 2024. Anybody remember what happened on April 8th, 2024? Was it anybody's birthday, April 8th? Wow, okay. Oh, yes? Do you remember what happened April 8th, 2024? Yeah, I probably wouldn't have either, especially put on the spot like that. It's interesting because that particular day, as soon as I tell you what happened, you'll be like, of course, I remember now. But that particular day, there was actually a big buildup to what was going to happen that day. And there were people losing their minds about the thing that was going to take place on April 8th, 2024, right here. You're dying, aren't you? Like, a bunch of you are like, I just need to pull my phone out and Google it right now. Like, ask Siri. Just, I'll give you the answer. On April 8th, 2024, many of us got to witness a total eclipse of the sun. You guys remember this? You remember the hype that was built up around this event that was going to happen, that there was going to be totality, like it would be complete darkness right around here for I don't remember how long, it's like 3 or 4 minutes. And I can remember a bunch of our friends like gathered over at Frontier Park to witness this phenomenon. And I just remember being like, I mean, okay. I was like, I feel like I've seen this before. Like, I mean, they tell me I haven't, but I feel like I've seen it before. I don't know. Like, I just wasn't super excited about it. And, you know, people got the glasses, like all these things. I'm just like, what is happening? But what I do remember is I remember that, I remember that all of a sudden, before I knew it, it's like somebody had just turned out the lights on the whole planet, at least where we were at. Do you remember this? That in the middle of the afternoon, the whole place went dark. And I just remember standing there, like looking up with these goofy glasses on and just being like, what am I seeing right now? What is happening right now? In fact, there was this moment where I didn't have the words to describe what I was feeling or what I was experiencing. Has this ever happened to you? Where you're just taken back by whatever you've just experienced. So much so that there's this like pause. Like you know that there's something innate within you that says, I wanna like shout, I wanna sing, I wanna praise something, but I don't know exactly what to do because like my mouth just won't make the words do what I've just seen. That's how I felt that day. But it was weird because like I hadn't really expected anything great to happen that day, but when it did, man, I was ready to start singing praise. What's interesting is that for the last 4 weeks, we've been watching David cry out to God, hoping that God would do something amazing. There's this buildup. Surely you've seen it. If you've been here for a couple of weeks, you've seen David crying out to God, like wanting him to answer these prayers of his. And it's like this crescendo that's been building up and building up. And can I just tell you, Psalm 65 is it. It's gonna happen right here. And then what does a good songwriter do when he doesn't know what to do? He writes a song about it. He finds a way to lift up everything that's going on in his heart and in his mind and just sing God's praises. That's what Psalm 65 is about. I've titled it, Praise Awaits Our God. And the question that I've been wrestling with as I've been going through this text for the past several weeks is a question I'd like to ask you. With each day that the Lord gives you on this planet, are you growing in your reasons to praise him? Like with every day that you're alive, are you growing in the reasons that you should be praising God? Not just on Sundays, but every day. Not just when a big event happens, but when the smallest mercy is uncovered before you. Are you growing in your praise day after day after day? Psalm 65, David is going to uncover some realities about the nature of God, about who he is and about what he's done. And my hope is that as we read this psalm, we just come alongside David in his song of praise and just join him for these things that we see are true about our God. So, with hopefully a little buildup now, will you join me in standing as we read Psalm 65, verses 1 through 13? These are the most powerful and important words that will be spoken out of my mouth today. May we have ears to hear them. Psalm 65, to the choir master, a psalm of David, a song. Praise is due to you, O God in Zion, and to you shall vows be performed. O you who hear prayer, to you shall all flesh come. When iniquities prevail against me, you atone for our transgressions. Blessed is the one you choose and bring near to dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied in the goodness of your house, the holiness of your temple. By awesome deeds, you answer us with righteousness, O God of our salvation, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas, the one who by his strength established the mountains being girded with might, who stills the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, the tumult of the peoples, so that those who dwell at the ends of the earth are in awe of your signs. You make the going out of the morning and the evening to shout for joy. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The rivers of God is full of water. You provide their grain, for so you have prepared it. You water its furrows abundantly, settling its ridges, softening it with showers and blessing its growth. You crown the year with your bounty. Your wagon tracks overflow with abundance. The pastures of the wilderness overflow. The hills gird themselves with joy, and the meadows clothe themselves with flocks. The valleys deck themselves with grain, and they shout and sing together for joy. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. You guys can be seated. So David kicks things off. Psalm 65, verse 1. And he's not going to pull any punches. He's not going to waste any time. He's going to tell us exactly what this song is all about. That this particular song that he has written is all about praise to his God. Which is an interesting thing for us to note, especially considering where we've come from. If you think about the last 4 weeks, the last four psalms that we've done, Psalm 61 through 64, the tone of David has not been equal to this one. In fact, you don't have to look far within the Psalms, just one verse in, to figure out exactly where David is at as he's writing these particular Psalms. Just review with me for a second. Psalm 61, verse 1. David is begging God, hear my cry. Psalm 62, verse 1. David pleads with the Lord as his soul waits in silence. Psalm 63, 1. David is earnestly seeking the Lord as his soul thirsts and his flesh faints. And then last week, Psalm 64, verse 1, David complains to God and asks that he might hear his voice. But here in Psalm 65, his tone changes, doesn't it? It's as though something has happened to David. Something has happened for David that has caused not this plea of God, hear me, help me, I need you, but rather, oh God, I want to praise you. In fact, we see in verse 1, this is how he starts. Praise is due to you, oh God. That can also be translated, praise awaits you in silence. It's this idea that in the waiting of David, that he is storing up a heart that is preparing to praise God when his mercy is finally revealed in David's life. We've watched him for four psalms say, I need you. Like, God, I feel the heaviness. I feel the loneliness. I feel like you're not close. Like, maybe you don't hear me. And then finally, God shows up. And in Psalm 65, he's like, I've been waiting. Like, here it is. Here's all the praise that's been stored up in my heart. God, here it is. It's just this beautiful crescendo of waiting and then praising, just bursting forth out of his heart and out of his mouth. Praise awaits you, O God. And as we continue to walk through this psalm, I think what we're going to see is we're going to see David highlight three attributes of God, three truths about God in his nature, three truths that help us uncover exactly who this God is and what he's done for us. And again, I just want to reiterate, my hope is that as we watch David praise God, that we would also grow in our praise to God. The three things that I hope that we see today, verses 1-4, is we'll see David praise God for his provision. In verses 5-8, we'll see David praise God for his power. In the final verses, verses 9-13, we'll see David praise God for his presence. Let's start in verse 2. Verse 2 reads this, O you who hear prayer, to you shall all flesh come. It's as though David is saying, the first thing, God, that I want to praise you for is that I know you hear my prayers. It's as though he's remembering that this God that he's been praying to, this God that he's been crying out to all of these days, that those cries have not missed the mark. They haven't been empty words that have floated up into the heavens not to be answered, but rather that God has heard every single one of his prayers, that he is a God of nearness, that he is a God, as we looked at last week, whose ears are attuned to the children that he loves. God's always listening. And surely we know this by now. In Genesis chapter 21, we see God hears the cries of Hagar's son, Ishmael, as he's crying underneath a tree after they've been sent away by Abraham and Sarah. Or maybe in Exodus chapter 3, where God hears the cries of his people, the Israelites, as they are suffering under the oppressive hand of the Egyptians. Or kids, what about this one? What about when that guy Jonah gets swallowed by a big fish? And inside the belly of the fish, Jonah prays to God. And you know what the Bible says in Jonah chapter 2? It says that God heard his prayers, that even in the belly of a fish, God is listening. And so, Trails Church, I don't know exactly what you've come into or how you've come into this place this morning. I don't know how long you've been waiting for God to answer your prayers. But here's what I can tell you. is that according to Scripture, he hears every single one of them. That no matter your circumstance, no matter your situation, he hears them all. He hears them all. Take rest in that. Find comfort in that. And as you wait for his response, can I just encourage you? Let your praise be prepared for when he answers. That yes, certainly praise him as you wait, but also just let your heart prepare for more praise when he does. So what other things has God provided David that he can't help but praise him for? Well, the other thing is a significant thing. It's found in verse 3. David writes, "When iniquities prevail against me." Like, I just love the humility of King David to just say, you know what? Sometimes sin gets the best of even me, a man after God's own heart. That in fact, in this moment right here, he's recalling a time when he felt the weight of all of his sin, the shame, the guilt, he felt it all. In fact, maybe you remember Psalm 32, where it says that when his sin was unconfessed, he could feel his bones withering away. His energy was zapped like that of the sun on a hot summer's day, that he was physically sick because of the weight of the guilt of his sin. Haven't we all been there at some point? We've just felt the overbearing, prevailing, overcoming weight of our sin against a holy God. But remember, this isn't a psalm of mourning, but rather a psalm of praise. David doesn't stay in this position very long, does he? In fact, you just look to the end of verse 3, and David just caps off this, man, I can't do anything about the sin that I've done. I can't remove its shame. I can't get rid of the guilt. There's nothing that I can do to remedy my problem, but oh, you, God. Look at what he says. You atone for our transgressions. My sin, but you've covered it. It's my shame, but you've taken it. It's my guilt, but you bore it. And in verse 4, it even highlights this chosen one. And David's probably talking of the priest who would go and make atonement for the sins of Israel. But surely you and I can read this and think of another priest, the high priest, King Jesus, who would atone for the sins of the world, who would be our sacrificial lamb, the one who would bear the guilt and the shame of our sins on the cross. You feel it? Do you feel the weight of your sins start to just evaporate when your eyes move to the cross? Do you feel the shame and guilt begin to be erased as you fix your eyes on the perfect sacrifice, the Lamb of God, our Savior, Jesus? Do you feel the praise starting to like brew in your heart? Like starting to bubble like in your soul, like this praise of what God has done through the sacrifice of Jesus for you, a sinful people, your sins atoned, covered, wiped away because of what he's done. Do you feel the, I gotta settle down, man. I'm getting excited. But do you see what I'm saying? Like there's this buildup of praise that should be happening in each one of our hearts for all that God has done through the person and work of Jesus. David knows it. Do you? Do you praise him every day for it? You should. You should be growing in your praise every day for the good news of the gospel. And maybe you came in here this morning and you're not real sure what I'm talking about right now. Maybe you've never heard of this atoning sacrifice of Jesus, or maybe you just have a lot of questions about it. And can I just tell you, my prayer for you is that today may be the day as you continue to listen to the heart of this songwriter, David, who is praising God for all that he is and for all that he's done, that maybe today would be the day your eyes are opened, that God just rescues your heart and shows you the beauty of the gospel, the beauty of the finished work of Christ on your behalf. And I can't wait. If today is that day for you, I can't wait to have a front row view of watching your heart just explode in praise, just like the hearts of so many of the saints that are sitting around you even today. That we've experienced it, I want you to experience it as well. Maybe today is that day. If you have questions about that, just ask anyone around you. Come ask me after the service, I'd love to talk to you. But we gotta move on to the next point. The next thing that we see David praising God for is for his great power. Look at verse 5 with me. It says, "By awesome deeds you answer us with righteousness, O God of our salvation, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas." It's as though this transitional period within the song that says, just in case you're unfamiliar with the salvation of God, just in case you're unfamiliar with how he awesomely answers prayers, let me just help you step back for just a second. And let's just survey the landscape around us. Look at verses 6 through 7 as he surveys the creation. David writes, "God, you are the one who by his strength established the mountains, being girded with might. The one who stills the roaring seas, the roaring of their waves, the tumult of the peoples." Isn't it interesting, just this clear picture that David makes of the unmatched power and authority of our God? Is it not incredible to you? I mean, we see in verses 6 and 7 that God has established the mountain ranges, that he stills the seas, that he calms restless people. At the end of the day, that he is the creator and the sustainer of all we know and see. That he stands in power and authority over land, over sea, and over all the earth's inhabitants. This is our God. He's over it all, and he's holding it all together. But I can see on your faces that my words aren't enough to impress you. You don't seem impressed. I understand that my words will fail, but where my words fail, God's word will not. And so in a hope to open your eyes, or maybe for some of you, you've just become familiar with how powerful God really is, can I just show you in Scripture just how big he is? If you have your Bibles open, just flip over to Colossians chapter 1 real quick. Colossians chapter 1. One of my favorite sections within the New Testament, surely. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 17 read like this. "He," that's Jesus, God in the flesh, "he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him." Let me keep going. "And he is before," what's the word? "All things. And in him all things hold together." Do you see it? There's not one thing missed by the mighty, powerful hand of God. He created it, he sustains it, and he's holding it all together. Even as we speak, even as you sit here right now, he's holding it all together. And if for just one second you think that he's just doing that here in this church, Or maybe you even think a little bigger and you think, oh, he's just doing that here on this planet. Watch what God's word does. Isaiah chapter 40. You don't have to turn there, but certainly write it in your notes. Isaiah chapter 40. I just spent 2 weeks. 2 weeks ago, I spent 5 days in Isaiah chapter 40 with our students at summer camp. And it was a verse like this that I think may have really opened some eyes to the power and authority that God has. Verse 26 of Isaiah chapter 40 says, "Lift up your eyes on high and see." Who created these? "He who brings out their heavenly host by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing." You realize he's speaking of the stars. The hundreds of billions of stars in the hundreds of billions of galaxies. I don't even have time to let you know just how big the universe is, but can I just tell you that every star that you can see in the night sky has been named and placed by God Almighty. He's just holding it all together. One more. I just, this is too good. It's too good, guys. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Verse 35. "On that day when evening had come, he said to them, 'Let us go across to the other side.' And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him, and they said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?'" These guys are literally scared to death. Verse 39, "And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." I love the response here. He looks at these guys and he says, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith in me?" And they were filled with great fear. You can also translate that word as great awe. And said to one another, "Who is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" It's just incredible to me that I think for a lot of us, we probably take for granted the power and authority that our God has. Do you praise him for it? Do you praise that he's holding everything together? That he doesn't get tired of it? It doesn't give him a headache? That surely the God who can orchestrate the cosmos to function the way that they do, surely he can control and oversee what's best for you in your life. Surely our sovereign God is in fact for us. He's holding all things together. Do you praise him for that? Maybe we should grow in our praise to him for that. One more thing. At the end of this psalm, David praises God for his presence. And as we read these final four verses, what happens is we become witnesses to a beautiful portrait of God's blessing upon the land. For some, this is known as a harvest song that David has written. And we see a lot of this landscape imagery that is painted for us in these final four verses. In fact, the personification within these verses is absolutely astonishing. It's amazing that we see these hills come alive with the sound of music, literally, as they shout for joy at the coming of their Creator. I mean, it's there. Verse 12 and 13. They come alive shouting for joy at his praise. In fact, commentator James Hamilton Jr. writes about this section of this psalm this way. He says that God is the source of all life and blessing, and that where he is present, all things thrive and flourish. He continues the same thought as he looks at these verses, and he says, the created order is brought into perfect balance by the presence of the Creator. Isn't that what we see in these verses? Then in verses 9 through 10, we see that there are rivers that are full of water. They're not dried up. There's no drought. They're full of water. That the grain has flourished. There is no grain that hits the ground and then dies or is scorched. Not when God is present. That it flourishes. That it is fruitful. That even the places in which man has made a mess, God seems to redeem them and make them fruitful. And by the time we get to verse 12, we're getting these like Eden-like vibes, aren't we? That things seem to be returning to their previous state of perfection because God has shown up. And then the psalm concludes with nature once again shouting for joy at the coming of its creator. But there's one interesting thing that I just want to point out before we close. Is when we think about last week and this week's Psalms, we see David in this waiting pattern in Psalm 61 through 64. And towards the end of verse 64, we see where God actually shoots this arrow at his enemies. Remember this? That there's this arrow that is shot. There's this judgment that is performed on those who are against God and his people. And they're wounded. And it's in that moment that when God pronounces his judgment on these people, that the joy of the righteous is restored. It's like, yes, it's what we've been waiting for. And then you move into Psalm 65, and it's just this, it's this complete praise. It's just like this symphony of praise where we are praising God for his provision, for his power, for his presence. Just comprehensive praise happening. And what's interesting is you take the end of Psalm 64 and all of Psalm 65 and you put them up next to Revelation 20 and Revelation 21. And the same movement of thought that we see in Psalm 64 and 65 is the same movement of thought that we see towards the crescendo end of the Bible. That in Revelation 20, we see where God's enemies are judged, where Satan, death, and Hades are thrown into the lake of fire. They are destroyed. And that when that happens in Revelation 21, God comes back and he makes all things brand new. That at his presence, his second coming, he makes it all brand new. It says that there's a new Jerusalem. There's a new earth. There's a new heavens. In fact, Revelation 21, verse 3, God says this, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God." Don't you see it? Don't you see God's presence? Surely, for those of us that are in Christ, the hope-filled promise of that day that is surely coming, that day that we've been singing songs about, I don't know if you noticed it, but we've been singing songs about it all morning, that day when he returns to make all things brand new, it should invoke in us this deep desire, this expectant praise that we can't wait to come bursting forth out of our hearts and mouths when we see him face to face. We should be longing for that day. But while we wait, can we just rest in the knowledge that God has come? That he came in the person of Jesus Christ. And that upon salvation, you've been given a gift, a deposit. the Holy Spirit of God that will now rest inside you, that God's presence is with you every day. From this day until the day he calls you home or he comes back, God is with you, hearing your prayers, providing for your salvation, displaying his great power in all things. That he's with us. And that surely from this day until that day, we would grow in our praise. That on that great day when he calls us home or he comes back, here's what I want you to remember, is that on that day, every one of us will praise him with clear minds, with lungs full of fresh oxygen, of bodies that are brand new. It's as though we will praise him as we were meant to, as we were made to do. But until that day comes, let us be a church. Let us be a people that are actively and intentionally growing in our practice of praise. Hear me, not just on Sunday mornings or students on Wednesday nights, but every single day, not just in the big things, but in the mundane mercies that we see every day revealed to us. These are the things that we grow in our praise of God for. Church, may we praise him for his provision of salvation through the finished work of Christ on our behalf. May we praise him for his power and authority over all creation. And lastly, may we join David in praising him as we look forward to that day when he comes back. And the crescendo of praise from all of his followers just erupts from each and every one of us. Will you guys join me as I pray and praise our God? And then certainly as we sing this closing song, may we practice our praise for who he is and for all that he's done. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the hope that you have not left us alone, that you have not left us to fend for ourselves, that you've not left us to try to fix things on our own, but rather you have made a way. You have provided a way for salvation. You have proven your love to us through the finished work of Christ on our behalf. God, may we grow in our praise for the glorious gospel of Jesus. And as we look around, God, may we praise you for your creation. May we join the rocks and the trees as they cry out these shouts of joy for who you are. And God, may we look forward to the day when we all get to stand and praise as we see you face to face. Help us to long for that day. And expectant praise. We love you. It's in your name that we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from The Trails Church. We hope you have been encouraged, equipped, and edified by time spent together in God's Word. And again, if you'd like to find out more about The Trails Church, visit our website, thetrails.org.